Manchester City ahead. And Kelly to line this one up. Oh! She has hit an absolute beauty in true Chloe Kelly style.
Shaw in the penalty area awaiting, and sets it in, Ward sees it home. Made a good run, flags it down, shot again. Another dangerous delivery that delivers another goal for Manchester City. And once again, it's Bonnie Shaw.
Hello and welcome back to MCW Fancast. I'm Emma, thanks for listening. What a week! And I'm still not over it, to be fair. And the excitement is only ramping up as we head into a pivotal week of match day preparations leading up to Friday's head-to-head against Champions Chelsea. Brace yourselves, because this episode is longer than usual. But we hope you enjoy it. I'm joined this week by Dave and Paul. We discuss all the recent results, including our 1-0 win away to Arsenal at Meadow Park. Let's get into it.
Right, I'm joined by Dave and Paul. Dave, how are you doing?
Over the moon, Emma. That was something else at the weekend. Still buzzing off it.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, great. I mean, like Dave, you know, fantastic result. And I think it shows where the team is at just at the moment. You know, just booming with confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's. Do you want to start with Arsenal or do you want to start with Tottenham? Because we've got quite a lot to cover. Should we start at the beginning?
Yeah, Tottenham feels a long time ago. We better cover that first.
Yeah, okay. Let's go back to Wednesday night then and Tottenham away in the Conti Cup. I mean, great result, firstly. Probably a tougher test than what we expected, though, Dave.
Yeah, they were dogged, Tottenham. It was similar to the league game in that City dominated the play, dominated the tempo. And I mean, what a goal. What a goal that was from Yuri. I mean, we were going just for that goal alone. I mean, it was a fantastic strike. Well worked goal from a set piece as well. And overall, City really weren't in any danger, I didn't feel, because Tottenham seemed to struggle to get the ball up top. And then City rolled out the second half, made changes, obviously, with the weekend coming up in mind as well. You know, so they had to manage minutes and things like that. He didn't play Kirsten because she'd got a knock and he wanted her obviously for the weekend, so Alana came in for her first game in a long time and she performed excellent at the back, fitted seamlessly in, so it was just a really good night, a good performance. We got through and deservedly so. So overall it was a great night.
Paul, I mean, did you catch the game? What did you make of it?
Like with Dave, I think it was the sort of games that were starting to be much better learning how to win this season. We seem to have some different options in how we play and how we win games. And obviously, you know, firstly, I think, like Dave says, his goal was a worldie. And I hope it encourages us to have more shots, because sometimes you see her on the edge of the box there and you think, have a go. You know, you've got that in your locker. And hopefully that'll give her the confidence now to maybe have a few more goals at try to score, because I think she's got that positional, she makes that space for herself on the edge of the box. And sometimes you think, oh, don't knock it across, you know, have a go. So that was great to see that. I think, you know, Spurs didn't have a shot on target. That's the truth of it. And I think City just ground it out. I think they got ahead and they just kept possession and kept knocking it about. And, you know, it's a very, very disciplined and efficient performance. And that's what we're getting this season. We can win with style and we can win when we need to grind it out. There's a plan B, I think, at City now. If that free flowing game isn't working, we can get in the trenches and have a go, and if we are knocking it about and it's working, we stick to that. And I think the preference for Gareth and the team is to play that free flowing possession style football, but when we need to, I think we can crank it into a different way of winning. And I think we saw that in the Arsenal game at the weekend.
I think it's worth to mention as well, I think, just over recent games as well, how influential Jess Park has been, Dave, as well. I mean, she's been a credit to the club in how she's been disciplined in terms of what's been asked of her when coming into games as well.
Perfect example of where you buy your time if you're not in the team. Your time will come. She came on as a sub, and we spoke at great length last week about it in the Leicester game, changed that game, and has kept her place since and has been excellent. Really, really good performances. In a role that we haven't really seen her in before, certainly, you know, more of a deeper midfield role, starting from deeper and joining the attack rather than just out wide. So it's been a role we've not seen her too much in. Excellent performances, really, really high quality. It's great to see because Jess has waited patiently for a chance and now she's taken it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love watching her as well. I mean, yes, we'll talk about the Arsenal game as well, but I thought she was absolutely brilliant in the Arsenal game. I think she was great. Yeah. Leicester, another fantastic example. And, you know, for such a young player as well, with so much ahead of her in terms of her future, you know, she's just been called up to the Lionesses as well today. So, you know, great to see that she's receiving that sort of honour as well, to be called up for a country. It's, you know, fantastic to see. And in terms of the loss that Joe Ward's been to the squad, the sort of offer that Jess has given us in terms of that difference and sort of coming in and tenacity and that, you know, intent that she shows whenever she plays is just really, I don't know, it's like invigorating. It gives us a little bit of something else as well in terms of how we kind of can set up and attack these teams as well, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Jess, she's not scared. She's not scared to have a go. She's not scared to run at teams. And she's not, and she's also smart enough to know when to sit in and keep the ball and move it around. She's a very talented passer with the ball, I think, and very good in possession. And it's no accident that she's got an England call-up off the back of these performances, because I think if she hadn't been back in the team, she probably wouldn't have got the call-up. But she's got the call-up because Serena's seen her, certainly so in the Arsenal game, and has obviously got the scouting reports that she's on fire at the moment. And as Dave says, you know, it's a lesson for all of the people who are warming our bench at the moment, who are really good players. I mean, Esme's in the England team and she's not getting much game time at the moment. It's just bide your time. Your time will come. We're going to be rotating. Certainly next season when we're back in Europe, we'll be rotating a lot more. So it's fantastic, you know, to see Jess. I think she's got an edge to her game that I really like. And I think she's just, as Dave says, she's been the model professional, just waiting and waiting, you know. And when Gareth's asked her to do a different job, she's gone, yeah, all right, I'll give it a go. And not only she give it a go, I think she's worked her way into the starting 11 at the moment, and that's to her credit, you know, good on her.
And I think it goes back as well to the whole team depth as a whole, in the fact that everyone's sort of playing their part within this squad at the moment.
Yeah, definitely they are. We need the whole squad. It's good that, I mean, obviously it was a massive blow to lose Jill, because she fitted seamlessly into the squad this season, and she was a big part of what we did in the first half of the season, so to lose her was a massive blow. We've got options now to replace her at the moment, and Jess has come to the forefront of that. But we've got other great players, you know, that their time will come. We've got Angledal on the bench, we've got Fowler, you know, as Paul said, we've got Esme Morgan, we've got Ruby Mace defensively, Demi Stokes. So it's depth, it's squad depth, and we are going to need it. If we're going to go for all three trophies that we're currently still in, we're going to need the squad depth. You can't play every single player 90 minutes every game, so these little players have got the parts to play. And as I said last week, it's not a slight to anyone who's sat on City's bench at the moment that they're not going to be in the team. They are good enough. But it's more credit to the ones who are playing, that they're playing so well. And it's a great place to be in as a manager. I'm sure Gareth's over the moon with his squad at the moment, because they're all performing. There's nobody underperforming in this squad at the moment, and that is great to see.
So let's talk about the draw then for the next round. Do you want to talk about it, or should we just move on?
Conti Cup, let's talk about it for about an hour, because we've got a home draw and it's that rare that I think we should celebrate it.
Yeah. So how are you feeling going into it? I mean, it was inevitable, really. I think these things are always written before they were even drawn at this point. It's a semi-final, it's against Chelsea, but we're at home.
It's a blockbuster, isn't it? It's the top two sides, it's going to be a cracker. Probably people have said to me, would Chelsea play a full side? It's the least of their priorities. Maybe that's so. I don't know. I don't worry about Chelsea. I just worry about us. I just know for us that we'll go for it. We'll put out a strong side. We're at home, which is a massive thing, because we've waited so long for home draws. You know, we just don't get them, do we? So a semi-final at home, the place will be full. It should be a great atmosphere. And I fancy us anyway at the moment, anywhere. But I certainly fancy us at home, even against Chelsea. And if you want to win trophies, you're going to have to beat Chelsea. You're going to have to beat Arsenal on the way somewhere, because they're the best two other teams that are knocking around. So, yeah, we could have got Arsenal getting the semi there and then Chelsea in the final. It's worked out. It could work out the other way with Chelsea and then Arsenal or Villa in the final. So I'm over the moon and I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great night at the Joy Stadium, that one.
What about you? I'm gutted, because I'm going to be on holiday. I actually like literally had tears in my eyes when it was drawn at home and I knew I was on holiday. I'm just like three massive games and I'm missing all three. I'm just absolutely fuming. I am going to be sat on my sun lounger with a pina colada. Oh, honestly, I'm absolutely gutted. Honestly, I can't even tell you, put it into words. But Paul, what do you think?
Well, you ought to better join the conga going around the pitch.
No, unfortunately not.
It's a collector's item. I think I described it to Jane at the OSC as a miracle. And I think it's such a rarity. But I think Dave's absolutely right. You know, I don't think Emma Hayes will put a weak side out. It's not her way. I think she'll put a strong side out because you don't want to lose to us. You know, it's us and them. We're the best two teams in the league this season by a mile. And Emma will want to go out, I mean, potentially doing a quadruple. So she will want to win that trophy. Hands down, she'll put a good side out. But the way we're playing at the moment, especially at home, we've got a really good chance of getting a result there. You know, we should have won the home tie. We would have won the home tie, but for the most bizarre refereeing decisions we've ever seen in the stadium and probably in the WSL. So, you know, there's nothing to fear. And Alex Greenwood said after the game on the telly, after the Arsenal game, you know, I'm going to say it. We're going there to win the league game. We're going there to try and win the league. We're not scared of saying that anymore. And I think that mentality is the big difference this season. We're not scared of anyone, including, let's be honest, the other best team in the league. They're a very good side, Chelsea. We know that, and we have to have a massive amount of respect for them. And I have to say, the thing I like about Chelsea, when they come to our place and when we go down there, it's two teams going at it. Both teams come to play football. So it'd be a fantastic game, fantastic atmosphere. And I think we've got every chance of beating them, especially at home.
Yeah, I've got to say, just on that, when Alex spoke at did the post-match, I actually had a tear in my eye when she said that. I've got to be honest, it actually made me quite emotional because I think I felt it. I actually felt it when she was saying it. I actually felt it. I thought, she means it. She's not just saying it, she means it. And that really connected with me, and I think probably with maybe other people as well, that, you know, we're here and we're, you know, we're strong, we're confident, and we're ready to compete. And I actually legitimately believe that we can do it as well. And I love to see that translating through the squad, through the players, and through management as well. I mean, like, it feels so different in a way, Dave. I don't know what you think.
Well, Alex is a great captain. Just quickly touching on Sunday before we go into it more later, when we scored the goal on Sunday at Arsenal, as she ran back, she gave us a fist up to all the City fans, and then she went round all the other defenders on the pitch, pointing at her head and saying, right, now we concentrate, now it's crucial, you know, we've got the goal. And Alex, we all know the WSL is such a tight league that, you know, if you don't have a good start, you can be playing catch-up all season. So you don't make these big noises at the start of the season. What you do is you knuckle down and you get yourself into a position where come the business end of the season, you've got a shout. Now, we've done that. We've manoeuvred ourselves with great performances into a position now where we've got a tilt at all three trophies that we could win this season. Not saying we'll win them all, but we're in the position where we can go for all three. And, you know, Alex is right to say what she said, because we're not here now for a mess. We're not making up the numbers. You've got to believe you can do it, especially the players. Players have got to believe that they are good enough. They've been good enough all season, and they can carry on that form. There's no reason why they can't, that they will be in with a shout of all three trophies, or, you know, two of them, or what, you know, the league itself. She was talking about winning the league. Well, why not? Why not? We're 3 points behind Chelsea. We've got Chelsea left to play. There's a handful of games left after that. Let's go for it. If we win them all, we'd have a chance, wouldn't we? So it's great to see. You want your captain to ooze confidence. City have had that, as a club, have had that in the men's and women's. We've had Stead for years, the best captain there is anywhere. You know, the club have a tradition of captains who believe in the club and believe in the team. And Alex is the latest in that. And it's great to see, because if you hear that from your captain, the rest of the team, all the supporters think, right, we're behind her. Let's be one. Let's go for this and give it everything we've got. And I'm sure that's what we're going to do. And that's what we did on Sunday. So that's brilliant.
So let's talk about it then, because we spoke on the podcast last week about fine margins, Gareth does his pre-match press conference and he's talking about margins, and then we gave our prediction and it was by margins, and then it transpired as such that it was such a battle on the day, two teams really going at it, wanting to get this result to progress. And it was triumphant in terms of the result in the end for City, thankfully. We spoke about how difficult a place Meadow Park is to go to. The atmosphere was questionable from the Arsenal support. But I think it all around it kind of made it more of a spectacle. You know, you could get a sense for the game and how much it meant to both ends, you know. So, you know, how were you feeling in terms of that match day build up, Dave?
Yeah, it was hostile, wasn't it? You know, it was a hostile away game. They were hostile. They targeted Chiara early on due to the mistakes she'd made last time. They thought they'd get ahead. Personally, I think it fueled her. I think it helped her. I think she showed maturity this season beyond her years. Amazing. And Sunday was a massive test for Chiara. Let's not talk about the saves she made later in the game, but talk about that later, because that was her goalkeeping skills. I mean, those are not in doubt. Those are fantastic. But as a young person, to rise above what she did on Sunday and become, you know, just to exercise the demons of the last time she played there, you must have felt fantastic for her. And I think that helped her. I really do. I think she thought, I'll show you. And I think it helped the rest of the team. I think, yet again, they bonded. We've seen this team. They've bonded. They've grown together. They're a unit. You know, you attack one, you attack them all. They're all together. And we saw that on Sunday. You could see when we scored the goal, straight to the Arsenal fans, giving it to them at their end, because they'd give it out. And if you give it out, you've got to take it, haven't you? And it was hostile. You know, I've got an issue with hostile atmospheres. I mean, probably went a bit over the top of what they were actually saying. But, you know, that's the way, you know, they thought they could help their team. Didn't help their team, I don't think. I think it helped our team. And the performance was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. So the City fans were outstanding. You know, obviously we're outnumbered because we're in the away end in the corner. But, you know, the support was unreal. It was first minute to last, trying to help them. We all feel that we're in it together. The team and the supporters are in this together. And that's all you can ask for. And that, I think that helped us. I think it helped us massively. On, so they were straight over to us at the end. You know that yourself, Emily. You were there. They were straight over to us, because I think they appreciated that we were all there as one together, and it worked out fantastic. And what a performance it was.
Yeah, I mean, Chiara was so composed. To be honest, I just didn't think it fazed her at all. There was no reaction. There was nothing. No. It was whatever.
I think, if anything, it worked against the Arsenal fans. I think it inspired her.
To be honest, I think Arsenal needed to do everything they could to nullify our game. And I don't think it really worked, to be honest. You know, if you taking everything else that happened in the game, I mean, it was quite a choppy game. You know, it was a bit feisty at times, which was as to be expected, which again, we spoke about on the podcast. I thought it added a little bit of something to it, to be fair, but it didn't affect us. It didn't faze us in any way, shape or form. We kept our composure. We were professional. We were diligent. And we just knew what we had to do. And I've been so impressed by, they spoke about this post-match as well with Gareth. When we've had a set piece, we've really worked hard at set pieces on the training ground. And it is really starting to show as well. With corners, free kicks, you know, we're making the most of them when they come along. And obviously that was evident on Sunday, Paul.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, aside from the hostile atmosphere off the pitch, there was a bit of a hostile atmosphere on the pitch. They're a very physical side, Arsenal. You know, they do get stuck in, you know, and one or two of their players, you know, a comedy villain in particular, who you know, delights in doing that. But it backfired on them, because actually whilst City can play really good football, they're tough operators. You know, that, you know, Lauren Hemp's not taking any nonsense off a second-rate left-back. You know, world-class player and a second-rate left-back who she's tearing to pieces, she's got to take no nonsense off her. And if you push her into the advertising hoardings, you're going to get something back. And as Dave says, she also knows she's got the backing of that whole team. If it kicks off, that team are going to back her up. And I think we matched them physically. And for long periods of the game, we were the better team. You know, it helped us that Russo was utterly anonymous. You wouldn't have known she was on the pitch. You know, Beth Mead was poor as well. That physicality didn't play, didn't help them, and actually played into our hands because we just played around it and we matched them physically. I mean, there was the elbow incident that was unnecessary, and I hope that that is a retrospective ban because that was an unpleasant thing. The McCabe thing was just comedy capers, you know. And you know, the best bit was when Lauren sort of slightly pushed McCabe and she fell over like she'd been shot. And Lauren was just laughing at her. She was just going, and the referee's laughing and going to the referee, what's this nonsense? So for me, I think it was when we needed to play and put our foot on the ball, we did. And when we needed to get stuck in, we did. And you know, we ground it out, and as you say, our set pieces are better. There's one thing about Kira that I thought was really interesting. Quite early in the game, she mishit a pass out of the penalty area, and she didn't. She wasn't fazed by it. She just got on with it. You know, you could see her because I was watching it on the box. You could see her just go, right, I'm going to reset here. I'm not bothered about all this nonsense coming on, you know, on the terraces behind me. I'm resetting, and I'm going to keep doing what I do, which is to pass out from the back. And I thought the distribution was excellent all through the game. We'll get onto the saves in due course. But the one thing I think that's brilliant about Kerry Keating, her distribution is top class. She's only 19. That's only going to get better. So distribution, brilliant. Mentality, brilliant. Team mentality, brilliant. And that's the thing we've talked about a lot on this podcast. What we're seeing is a team that not only are good players, because they're all good players, they're all internationals, they're all good players, but they get on. There's a team mentality. They're one for all. That's what they've got now. And that's the big difference this season. They know if they need to get in the trenches, they'll get in the trenches. And if they want to knock it about, there's people available to take the ball off them as well. So it's just a brilliant performance. And you know, despite all the niggly stuff that Arsenal were doing, we just got on with our business.
Yeah, I think they pointed out as well in the commentary that Bunny, you know, Bunny's saying, I want it on my chest, you know, she wants to hold up the play and control it. And she's talking to Keating, and it's just like, if she knows that she's good enough to deliver and distribute that ball, that just shows that what quality keeper we've got within, you know, the squad in terms of her skill set, because that's a really difficult thing to do, you know, and there's not many keepers that can deliver that ball exactly where that player wants it, you know, halfway up a pitch. So, you know, it's unbelievable.
It's an automatic part of a modern goalkeeper's game. Remember, it's massive now, the distribution. Mm. You know, it never used to be. It was all about being a goalkeeper, making saves, you know, and handling the stuff. And that's still crucial. But the distribution, you know, you're almost like, you set off the attacks. You know, if you can play a ball like that, you can find someone like Bunny. You know, you go from defence to attack instantly, and it's got to be done right. It's not long ball punting. It's not just hopeful punting. These are good passes. You know, in the men's game, we've got the best in the world at it, Ederson. And, you know, I think the women's team are trying to emulate that sort of, it's a weapon. It's a weapon in your armoury, you know, and she's young enough to have been brought up and trained right from the start that is now part of the goalkeeper's game. And we're seeing the benefits of that. It's natural to her, which is brilliant. And the performance on, I mean, she's been brilliant all season, but Sunday, I think she really did come of age. I think that was a unbelievable performance for someone so young, and I think, you know, I can't praise her highly enough for it.
Yeah,
honestly,
because you know, you almost feel as though, you know, a player like Kiara, for her age, given the game itself as an entity, as a whole, as a spectacle, and you know, the importance of that game as well, that she's almost going to be scrutinized from the very start of the game, because you know that you. Mm. A game like that you need every player to be at their best. And obviously, because there's been questions over her youth and her age and her experience, but I just think that goes right out the window now. Surely she's just answered all the critiques in that respect.
And going to what you say there is true, Emma, about it being the most important game and the massive games on the television, so the scrutiny's right on her. Throw into that as well, it's the place where she made probably her only mistake of the season. Anyway, everyone makes mistakes. Goalkeepers make mistakes all the time. Invariably, it can lead to a goal, and it did in the league game. It's just unfortunate. So to do it there, you know, as well, I think we'll do her the world of good, because it'll exercise that demon, you know, that she's probably had in her mind since that day. Excuse me. So, you know, add that into exactly what you just said as well, Emma, and it makes it an even bigger performance.
Yeah.
You know, that it was there.
Definitely. So, I mean, let's carry on then, because obviously the game, it was kind of like a first half dominance. You know, I think we played really well. It almost had to change ever so slightly for Arsenal in the second half, because I felt that they were on the... We were more or less on the front foot for the whole of that 45 minutes. Arsenal did come out a little bit with a little bit more intent, impose themselves a little bit more on the game. But what did you make of the second half, Paul?
Well, I thought they definitely came out on the front foot. I mean, why on earth he didn't pick Kim Little is a mystery, because when she came on later in the game, she was causing all sorts of problems. I just think it was a bit of a City classic in the first half, where we had loads of possession. We dominated the first half, really, and then couldn't put it in the back of the net. And then we put ourselves under that pressure in the second half. And they definitely did step up, but they just seemed a little bit off it. They seemed to be set up wrong, and they weren't playing as well as they can. And they did play better in the second half, but I think we just kept going at our plan. I don't think we panicked, and I think that's the key thing. We just kept going, and then we got the chance. You know, and in a tight game like that, you're probably going to get one or two chances, clear-cut chances. And it just dropped for us on the day. Another day, it might not have dropped, but on that day, right player, right place, back of the net. So it was a much tougher ask in the second half. And I think we'll get onto the saves in a bit, because, you know, that shows how tough it was. But, you know, again, we just kept at it. We kept going. And it was a really quality second half, actually, because I think Arsenal did step up, and they are a good team. Let's be honest about this, and let's give credit where credit's due. Good team, good players, probably not at the races that day. And it's always the question, isn't it? Were they not at the races, or did we not let them play? And I think for long periods of that game, we didn't let them play. And their physicality, their attempt to sort of, you know, kick us out of the game in a way, just didn't work for them. And in the second half, they just concentrated on playing football, and actually, it was a fantastic 45 minutes, end to end. Could have gone either way in that period. But, you know, the thing we do need to learn a bit, to be a bit better at, is just making the most of our chances. But that's going to come. That will come with, you know, the confidence that we're playing at the moment. Because we'll get one or two chances on Friday night against Chelsea, and we've got to bury them. You know, we can't just try and walk it in. We're just going to get it in the back of the net.
Would you agree with that, Dave?
Yeah, I would, yeah. And I think Paul made a good comment there about Kim Little, because I thought that's when Arsenal looked at the most dangerous later stages. When they put Black, Snellius and Little on the pitch, I thought they looked more dangerous than they'd done before. Obviously, they were pushing for an equaliser by that point as well. So, obviously, you know, things were a little bit more desperate, and they were a bit more forthright in their attacking, shall we say. But, yeah, I do. I think we did control you. I think you're both right. We controlled the first half. We could easily... There wasn't any... great chances. There was a few half chances. We should have had a penalty in the first half, without a shadow of a doubt, for that elbow. I mean, that was ridiculous. And I would like to see, after what happened to Rachel Daly, retrospectively, from her game, I think, you know, the same should happen here, because it was an elbow to the face on Bunny.
Rachel Daly did.
So, yeah. I mean, Bunny seems to get fouled a lot, and doesn't seem to get them in the area at all. Remember one in the derby last season. That there was one against Villa this season. They've nailed on penalties, and she's not getting them. So, you know, I'd like to see that change. But, yeah, there wasn't great chances in the first half for either side, really, half chances here and there. But the second half, it really did step up, and the quality was there. And our defence, I'd just like to... Rightly, that Chiara gets applauded because she was outstanding. But the whole defence, I mean, Wahabi, the work she put in at fullback near us in the second half was unbelievable. The amount of crosses she was stopping them getting into the box... It's not a pretty job, that, because you don't, you know, it's not glamorous. You just got to work and work, and she was doing that. And I thought it was one of her best games for City, Wahabi. I thought she was outstanding on Sunday. Alexandre, Alex at the back as well. You know, Kasparai, they were all excellent at the back. They kept the shape. They kept their discipline under severe pressure late on. And it was just, like I said before, they played as a unit. It was fantastic to see. You know, they were solid, and they're going to need to be again, as Paul said, on Friday at Chelsea, because it's going to be another test, an even stiffer test, because I think Chelsea are even better than Arsenal. But this team are up to it.
I thought Ohabi's game, I thought that was one of the best games he's had for us.
Yeah, because it's not pretty, is it, Emily? It's hard work, and it doesn't catch the eye, you know, of the cameras on the TV and stuff as such, because it's not spectacular work, you know. But it's you've got to do it. You've got to get through that shit. And the amount of times she stopped the crosses and backed up, you know, and got there, got back every time, and helped out the centre halves when they were needed at the set pieces that Arsenal were getting. I thought she was outstanding. I thought her experience shone through, and it's great to see someone like her getting her moment to shine, because she's been such a good player for us since she's come, and she's sort of gone under the radar. She never seems to get the mentions and the plaudits that I think she deserves. And it was great to see on Sunday, because she was outstanding. When she's right in front of you, like, you're watching the game and she's all back right in front, you see it even more. You know, she was pointing and shouting and keeping everyone disciplined. It was brilliant.
Yeah, she was absolutely outstanding. She never put a foot wrong for me. I just thought, start to finish, she was one of the best players. It is hard, you know, to single out players individually when everyone's put in such a massive team performance for, you know, a game like that as well, with such high intensity as well, a full 90 minutes of graft, you know, as well. Everybody's really put the effort in, and, you know, yeah, I'm just so pleased that the result went our way. I thought we deserved it, to be fair. You know, I think we outplayed Arsenal in terms of, you know, everything they've thrown at us on the day. And we were deserving of the result in the end. And I know there were some questionable moments within the game. And let's talk about that last sort of period where we were sort of into injury time, added time, that just seems to go on and on and on, to be fair. 6 minutes turned into something like seven, eight minutes in the end. And I was just like, everyone's just like, blow your whistle, screaming. It was a bit ridiculous in the end, but we hung on, thankfully. I found huge comfort listening to the We're Not Really Here podcast when Esme was, it's actually really humoured me, to be fair, because I watched the highlights again on Man City's website, and the last sort of effort in the highlight package is actually where Kira, you know, carries the ball, as allegedly carries the ball, and it literally finishes with the ball in her hands. And Esme stood on the, she's warming up, and she's literally in line with the byline, and she's just cool as anything, no reaction, while all the Arsenal players are sort of reacting to the incident. And Esme kind of goes on the podcast and she says, look, you know, I was warming up, I saw it, I was in line with the byline, it didn't go over the line. I can categorically say it didn't go over the line. If Esme's saying it didn't go over the line, I'm with Esme. But yeah, for me, there's no evidence to say that ball went over the line fully. Maybe the curvature of the ball was on the line. But from where we were stood and from where we were sat, Dave, we both said to each other, I'm not sure about it, you know.
the angle. No, I think Esme did have a better angle than we had, to be fair. Yeah,
to be fair, we had a rubbish angle on it.
Yeah. Esme said, do you not understand the perspective?
Perspective.
She said, it's all about perspective. And he said the lino was on that line as well. Let's have a quick word for the referee, actually. The referee had a pretty good game in quite a torrid game, you know, and I think she kept it flowing, and it was amazing that the first 45 minutes, aside from the unfortunate elbow incident, the first 45 minutes was no cards, which was a miracle because it was quite feisty. Yeah. So the ref, I think, had a good game. But it does raise the question, and a question we discussed previously. Whilst we know the issues around VAR, and obviously places like Bournemouth are not set up for VAR, why on earth can't we have gold line technology? It's simple technology, easy to install, and it's linked to the referee's watch. And that would have, if we'd had gold line technology, this discussion wouldn't be happening, because the referee would have either, it would have a beep on the watch, or it didn't go over the line. From watching it at home on the telly, it didn't appear to go over the line. It appeared to be on the line, didn't go over the line. But why on earth we can't have simple goal line technology like they have in the men's game, at all levels is beyond me. It's an insult to 22 world-class players that we can't just install a few sensors around the goal mouth, and then we wouldn't have this stupid, ridiculous argument whether it was over the line or not. And in fairness to Kiara, she did drop it, but she then reacted really quickly, which is the mark of a clever keeper. But it's that technology thing for me. Just get it installed. We're not going to get VAR anytime soon, but we can have goal line technology, surely.
Well, there's a lot of debates over VAR in the men's game, isn't there? Some people are very much for it, some people are against it, but pretty much everybody agrees that goal line technology is good. I've never seen anyone against it, because it's a yes or a no answer pretty much instantly, and you get to see the evidence as well.
Yeah.
The decision's been made. You know, they show it, you don't they? The very famous one with City against Liverpool, and John Stones got off the line and they were screaming goal, and it showed you it wasn't all over the line. Yeah. So it's black and white. It's yes or no. So bring it in. It's all it takes is some sensors in the goalpost and it's done.
Yeah.
So I agree. Yeah. I don't see why they haven't already, especially in the WSL league games, you know. But
in one of them ongoing conversations for quite a number of seasons. I just feel that, you know, we have tournaments, summer tournaments where, you know, the women's game, we've got VAR, we're used as guinea pigs for new things that are going to be implemented into their men's game. But when it comes down to it, we're always the afterthought. You know, we're the guinea pigs to trial and test all these new features and new technologies and all this kind of stuff. But when it actually comes down to it, none of them are actually implemented or even seen within the women's game. And I just think it's not good enough. Like, be consistent. If you're going to do it for the whole of the women's game. Do it for the sport, not just for the tournament. You know, let's see it rolled out. Let's see you invest in the technology and let's implement it in women's stadia. Like, there's no reason for them not to do it. You know, if they're not willing to do it and invest, then stop using the women's game to trial and test these new technologies.
You either treat the women's game as a professional setup and you treat it with the respect that it deserves, or you don't. And for me, you've invested all this money in grounds, you've invested all this money in people coming in, and you're not prepared to invest in simple goal line technology. As Dave says, certainly in league games, that should be mandatory, because it's a simple thing. If the ball's not gone over the line, the referees watch beeps, they award the goal. Don't beep, it's not a goal. It's not complicated technology.
It's not.
Dead simple. And it's an insult to all those players who are doing their best that they can't have a decision instantly. As Dave says, it's black and white, yes or no, instant decision. There's nobody in the game that thinks goal line technology is not a good thing. And we can hark back to 1966 World Cup final, can't we? The controversy there. We didn't have the technology, however many years later, we're still debating whether that was a goal or not. I know Arsenal fans will still be debating whether that goal was a goal or not in next season, probably. It's not good enough, and we need to get the technology in place. I know why the issues around VAR, and, you know, because the stadiums are not set up for it. That's another discussion. And as you say, Dave, VAR is controversial in the men's game anyway. But let's get goal line technology in. Let's not mess about. And as you say, I'm sick and tired. You know, they were going to trial the blue card thing in the women's game. Well, why can't they trial it in the men's game as well? It doesn't have to. We're not some sort of petri dish for all sorts of weird and wonderful things that you ever want to do.
If it's deemed as a failure, or if it's deemed as something that doesn't work, it's not going to be used in front of a big enough platform or a big enough audience for it to be deemed as a failure. If it's used in a women's game and it doesn't work,
that's just so disrespectful to, like, also world class. We're talking about world class footballers here.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about some of the best women's footballers in the world playing this country, without a doubt. So it's just disrespectful. There's no need, like you say, try it in the men's league cup if they want. There's a big platform. So just try something like that.
There's enough men's tournaments.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
I agree. Also, it's not like we're Manchester Corinthians playing on the park with like five people watching. There's thousands of people watching these games now. You know, in the big games, in the big stadiums, you know, we're going to play our derby. There'll be, you know, it'd be full house. Nearly 60,000 people, 55,000 people in the ground. So it's not like there's a big sort of shock that, the women's game some sort of minority sport anymore. This is big business, big crowds. We're not the, you know, the guinea pigs in the petri dish for all sorts of weird and wonderful things that UEFA want to bring in. If you want to test it in the men's and the women's games. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. You know, I'm not against advances in the way the game's played, but don't use us as your get out clause if it doesn't work. Because, you know, we're bigger than that now. It's not Mickey Mouse football. This is professional football, great players, big crowds. Treat us with the respect that we deserve as fans. And as Dave says, treat the players with the respect they deserve as well.
Definitely. And it wasn't over the line anyway. No.
No. So that's it. End of discussion. Monday night was the draw for the next round of the FA Cup quarterfinal. And home away from home now, Tottenham.
Yeah, I think we play that more there than we play at home in the home games this season, haven't we?
A good result, a good draw. Not good on the mileage though, Paul.
No. I mean, I think the OSC are handing out Pearly King and Queen outfits for these games. And you know, there's a bit of, you know, I can see somebody on the old Joanna singing, you know, Roll Out the Barrel down a pub in North London. But it's just laughable. It's just the bad luck of the draw. I suppose the plus side is we might see Spurs actually get a shot on target third time round. That will be a rarity for them. I think it's a good draw. I don't think it's an easy game. And, you know, say it's slightly tongue-in-cheek, sort of saying they're not going to get a shot on target. They have got some good players. They're a well-organised team. But we've got the measure of them. And the problem with these sort of repeated matches against the same team, it becomes quite sterile because both teams know what's going on. Both teams, there's no real surprises in these games for either side. So whilst I think it's a really bad draw for the fans, I think it's a really good draw for the team because I think we can beat them, advance, you know, and I think we all secretly, and I'm not getting ahead of myself here, we all secretly fancy a trip to Wembley this season because it's such a great day out. And I think it will be a sellout Wembley this season. And that's going to be a rocking atmosphere at the National Stadium.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. I mean, I think, obviously, we've seen, attendances grow at Wembley over, you know, recent seasons, particularly after COVID. And, you know, great to see fans back in, you know, the National Stadium as well for such a prestigious event as well. I mean, Dave, the FA Cup, though, is really special, isn't it?
Well, it's grown, hasn't it, year on year since they moved it to Wembley. You know, the crowds have got bigger now. As Paul says, it's probably a sellout now most years now because it's got its own big day at Wembley. And rightly so as well. You know, it should be at Wembley, the FA Cup final. So it's a fantastic day to get to. Even the one we lost to Chelsea was still a great day out. I mean, it's fantastic when you win. And it goes without saying, we've won there twice when we've been there. And unfortunately, once was in COVID and we couldn't be there. But and then obviously we went back and we lost one to Chelsea, didn't we? A very, very good game of football that was, though, to be fair, for a cup final. And even that was a great day out. The spectacle, you still get the day, don't you? And the spectacle. And, you know, we were just slightly short on the day that time. But, yeah, I can't wait. But there's a lot of football to be played yet before we start thinking about Wembley. We've got to go to Spurs. Well, as soon as Tottenham came out first in the draw last night, I thought, here we go, we're going to get these again. We did. It could have been worse. We could have been going to Chelsea away, which would be a tougher game. Ideally, if it had been the other way around, if we'd have got Tottenham at home, would have been the perfect draw. It isn't. It's back to Leighton. I presume they'll play at Leighton Orient again. So it's back to Brisbane Road, play them again. We've beat them twice there recently. You know, we've got to be careful. We've got to be professional and go there. Can't go there complacent because they will want to get revenge. I said this about the Conti Cup game, and it's the same thing happens. I don't like playing the same team. Over and over again, like Paul says, because, you know, they start to suss you out a little bit. So maybe we can go for a plan C this time.
Yeah, maybe Gareth has something up his sleeve. As well, haven't they?
Yeah. But, I mean, they only beat Charlton 1-0 at weekend. I believe they struggled to get a late second half goal to get through. So they're not in the best of form, but this is a perfect pick-up for them as well. It's another big cup tie. They'll probably get a decent crowd. The Conti Cup crowd was midweek, so it was a bit smaller, but I think this will be at the weekend again, so they'll get a big crowd like they did for the league game. Good atmosphere. yeah, it is what it is. We'll go there and it has to be decided on the day. So we'll go there and we'll, it's another big game. And yeah, I may as well move down to London.
Yeah, if anyone knows of any rentals for...
Actually, there's some flats that overlook the ground there. Could have done with hiring one of them. You know, at Leighton Orient, there's some flats that look onto the pitch at the thing. So see if there's any timeshares going in one of them.
But, you know, I've got to say, I do love a little bit of a residential around a pitch. I think, you know, especially in the FA Cup when you sort of watch, like, you know, like Division 2 or something like that, and they're all like...
Six people on a balcony and two blokes up a tree, usually.
I love it. I love that. So it's a massive month, you know, lots of big fixtures, big games coming up for City. Dan Pentland put on I couldn't find it, I was trying to look for it before, but he put a stat up about how many miles we'd done this year so far. It was sort of nearing the 900-1,000 kind of total. So yeah, big start.
I can believe it. It's important for the team as well. It's the team need the recovery in between these games now. It's crucial. That's very important, and I'm sure Gareth's got all his staff working on that because that's crucial now. Because it will take its toll. Otherwise, all this travelling is, you know, week after week after week. You expect it with the league games. We all play the same league games over and away every season. But these cup draws. You know, thank God the Chelsea Conti Cup draw is at home because that helped us, I think.
Alex made the point in a TV chat about, you know, we're doing the recovery now. As soon as we get back, we're doing recovery. You know, we're getting ready for another trip back down south. So clearly the club and the players have got a method now of being able to do that recovery properly. And we may see one or two of the players that have been on the bench recently getting a trip out in the cup games as well. So that's the other thing that I think we touched on briefly earlier. We've got a bigger squad, a better bench now, so we can rotate people in and out. You know, Esme Morgan, if she gets a start, she's not going to let us down. Ruby Mace, if she gets on. Mary Fowler, who's one of the best young players in the world, in my view, is getting very little time on the pitch. So, but I have to say with Mary, when she comes on, she does make a difference. You know, she's a very confident young player, and you know, in that frantic last 10 minutes at Arsenal, she you know, she was getting a foot on the ball and moving it around, and you know, so that's, there's going to be bits, there's going to be times when we're going to have to just take players out and rotate somebody in, but I think they've got a method now and they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's definitely coming across and translating through the games, through obviously the management. Recovery is equally as important as any match day preparation is in terms of this week now for City. You know, they'll be working hard on the training pitches, looking at nutrition, looking at recovery, and we'll be doing everything we can to make sure that we're prepared as best we can for Friday. And I hope they get the train. I don't, again, like, don't get the bus, guys, just get the train. Please, it takes half the time. definitely. And in terms of preparation, I definitely think, you know, we've seen everything's, the messages that are being communicated seem very cohesive. And I think I'm very confident heading into this match day, with it being as big a game as it is. Obviously, looking ahead now to Chelsea, it is a huge head-to-head game for the league. They won't be sort of concentrating on this game as if we lose this game, we're going to lose the league. It's just going to be like any other game, just a go out and get the best result we can. And hopefully that'll be a victory at King's Meadow on Friday, Dave.
This is like, each game this week has been pivotal and they've got bigger. Spurs was big. Arsenal's bigger. This is even bigger. It's not a, you're right, Henry. It's not a be all end all. But we really, if we're going to challenge this league, we need to get a result, really. I mean, a draw wouldn't be the end of the world. A win would be fantastic. If we lose, it makes it a really tall order because Chelsea would be 6 points clear of us and they're a very good side. You know, how many points will they drop after Friday night?
It's tough to look at it as though Chelsea would lose two games.
Yeah, because history would tell you that they wouldn't slip up that many times. But obviously, you never know. But yeah, it's massive. It's a massive game. But we're in such a good place. You know, we can't be in better shape other than the Gill injury. It's the only thing that's gone against us. We were in the best shape we can be in. to go and play the best team in the country. Chelsea are rightly the best team, the reigning champions, the top of the league at the moment. So they're the best team in the country, and you show them that respect. We're a very good side as well. We go there, and as I said before the Arsenal game, if we go there and we give it everything we've got, and we come off that pitch with no regrets that we give it our best shot, that's all you can ask for of your team, and I'm sure we'll do that. We did it on Sunday, and I think we'll do it again on Friday. We'll give it everything we've got to get the result, and we'll see where that takes us. It was enough. It's been enough so far. I don't see why it can't be enough. We've played well there in the past. You know, they're not impenetrable. They do get beat. We've beat them there. We beat them at home many times as well. So we know we can get about Chelsea. They've got world-class players in every department. They've just brought another one in. Striker to replace Sam Kerr, who's unfortunately got a serious injury. They've brought another world-class striker in to replace her. Because Emma Hayes means business. It's her last year there. And as Paul said before, she might want to go out with all four trophies. I wouldn't bet against them winning the Champions League. I think that's her holy grail. That'd be like her perfect end to her. The time at Chelsea would be to lift that Champions League. And who's to say they won't? They've certainly got the players that can do it. Lauren James has been having a fantastic season. So everywhere you look in Chelsea's team, there's great players. But we're a great team as well. We've got players playing so at the top of their game. And it should be a real spectacle because it is without doubt the best two teams in the country going head to head. And it's usually a good game. And I'm expecting a good game on Friday. I think it might be a little bit more open than when we play Arsenal because of the way that those games go and the way that the Chelsea games go. A bit more football played rather than tactical, we'll see. But again, we need to take our chances because there won't be that many. But I think we're up for it, and hopefully we've got no new injury concerns. I know there's a slight concern with Bunny coming off with that ice on a knee on Sunday, but hopefully that's nothing too serious. We go there and let's go there and give it a really good go.
Was it something to do with a hamstring?
It's a calf injury. She's been nursing
for
a few weeks. And Gareth said that she's been managing it, and they're not concerned. And I think it's just a sort of, there was a precautionary where they took her off. So I think she'll be fit for Friday. Certainly to start, whether she lasts to 90, that's another question. But, you know, I think she'll start and put the fear of God up their defence, probably.
She had a very good game there last year. We lost 2-0. And it was very early in the season, but we played very well. It was a little bit unfortunate that we lost 2-0. I remember talking about it on the podcast at the time. It was a good performance, and Bunny had a fantastic game in that. She did all the things that she does every week in and out now, you know, the hold-up play. And I remember giving, I think it was Buchanan and Millie Bright on the day as their centre-halves, giving them a right at half-time. So I'm sure she'll be up for doing that again on Friday.
A lot of confidence to take away from the game earlier in the season where we bossed it at home, you know what I mean? It was just...
Oh, we were outstanding in that game. I mean, it was ridiculous, referee. We said it at the time. Just unbelievable. You'll never see anything like that again. It's just unbelievable what she did, that referee, that day. I mean, when they equalised in the 96th minute, we were down to 8 players because Alana was off getting treatment as well.
Yeah. Well, ironically, that referee's just been promoted to the UEFA panel. So what you want. As Dave rightly says, in the past, I think we've probably gone to down to their place with slight trepidation. I think we've got every chance of getting a result in that game because we're playing so well and they like to play football. You know, they like to play, you know, open football. We like to play open football. I think it'll be a cracking game. There's going to be very little in it. I think it'll be one or two, maybe it'll be another 1-0 or 2-0 or 2-1. You know, there'll be very few chances created. If we take our chances, then we've got every chance. You know, we should go there with confidence. You know, we won a 10-match unbeaten run. They're on a run as well. They're always a good team. They always, you know, turn up. But we turn up now. And we have plan A, we have plan B, potentially have a plan C sometimes. You know, there's all to play for. And this is why you follow football for these sort of big games, these sort of, you know, season defining games. You know, if they win, they'll almost certainly win the league. If we win, it's neck and neck, and it's who drops points and who scores the most goals at that point, because I don't see us dropping many points after the Chelsea game. So it's all to play for, and what an advert for women's football that game is going to be. Not just an advert for us, or Chelsea, because we all know how good those teams are. But it's on the telly. It's a massive advert for the whole game, and it's going to be a showcase for 22 world-class players going at it in a big, big game. And that's what they're living for. That's what, you know, Alex was clear in that interview after the game against Arsenal. We're going to go there to win that game. Now, you know, it's in, that's in the hands of the football gods, but they're going there to win it. And I think that's a massive gear changing mentality, which can only hold us in good stead for next season, particularly when Emma Hayes is off to the States. And I think that's going to have a massive impact on Chelsea. So, so you know, it's what football's all about. It should be the two best teams in the country going head to head in a big game. And, you know, good luck to both teams, because I think the teams that have lit up the women's game, but obviously I want our team to come out on top, and, you know, gives us that impetus to go back to the end of the season. Because if we win, it's going to be right down to the last game, and that's how it should be.
Last week, obviously, well, not last week, because we're talking a couple of days after, but a lot of people were talking about how that game was against Arsenal was season defining. Dave, do you feel that this is a potential turning point for City in terms of that win, lose or draw?
Well, win, lose or draw, we, whatever happens on Friday night, not really, because we've got to carry on the form. Even, you know, whatever the result is on Friday night, the next game's critical anyway. We're still in both cups as well, so it doesn't affect. Oh, so it's not season defining as such that, you know, if we were, you know, say we lose, let's be pessimistic about it for a minute. If we lose, the season's not over. There's still some space for us, but we've got to make sure, you know, we stay on the coattails and we carry on and we stay at least second in the league, because that gets you into the Champions League, higher, you know, one further round with qualifying. And then we'd have still two cups to go for, and we'd be hoping that Chelsea slip up. But equally, if we go there and win on Friday night, it's not all, you know, that puts us level on points with them. So as Paul said there, we would then be neck and neck, right? And every game then would be bigger than the last one if we both keep winning. Mm. You know, every game would become a cup final. Throw into that that the cup ties are already knockout one-off games as well. Every game's going to be massive. And then it's about who handles the pressure more. You know, both teams have been through it before. Both teams have got really experienced players as well as really young players. You know, so we're pretty equally matched. I mean, Chelsea are a fantastic side for us. So for us to be in a title race with them neck and neck if we win on Friday, is massive for a testament in itself to the team, you know, where they are. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be a good game. But yeah, we, like I said, as long as you go there, we don't have any regrets that we give it everything. And like Alex said on Sunday, they're going there to win. They want to win the league. They think they can win the league. They want to win the league. We believe they can do it. And let's go for it.
I actually feel that the mentality of and the mindset of the players sort of, again, and I think this is something we can carry into Friday, given the result on Sunday, you know, the mindset to go to Meadow Park where, you know, we've not had, you know, that much success in recent seasons, obviously to change that narrative, is the same sort of mindset that we need to have going into Friday as well.
Yeah, and I think it was Farrah Williams that said in commentary after the game, City wanted it more against Arsenal. They wanted it more. You could tell they wanted it more. There was just something about them, that mentality now is, we want it more than you. And that's not always been there, particularly in our last season where it's a massive transitional season. This season, you can see it. They want it. They're going there and they want it. They're going to go there on Friday against a very good team and they want it. So it's about desire. And if we that might be just the edge it gives us, that extra mental win, will to win, might be the thing that takes us over the line. But, you know, that's such a big change, I think, in the team now, that they are full of desire to win every game possible. They don't let anything slip. And I think the Brighton game was probably a wake-up call for them, when we should have won that game. We didn't. In the past, City teams might have sort of wilted a little bit after that, but they didn't. They come back stronger. And that's partly to do with the way the team is as a collective. I think we've got to give a huge amount of credit to Gareth and his coaching team. He's really got hold of them and said, look, It's not, you know, you're good players. We all know that. It's the same desire you see at the men's team. When the men come off the Christmas break, something clicks in their head, and something's clicked in the women's team as well. It's a massive mental shift that I think means that when we go down to these big games now with essentially our biggest rivals now, we're full of confidence that we could get a result. And Chelsea will have noted that. You know, Emma Hayes is a very shrewd manager. She'll have noted that, and she'll put out the best team she can. They'll be well organised, playing good football, but so are we. And that's beautiful to watch. It's beautiful. Those women that we follow, they deserve full credit for changing the way they play and to change their mentality. I think it's a fantastic testament to them as a group.
Character too, as well, I guess, Dave.
Yeah, we're showing that on Sunday. The character's unbelievable. This team, we've said it many times, this team's grown together over the last 2 years. It's grown naturally, organically together as a team. He added Jill Roard this season, who fitted seamlessly in, and she's a big loss. But other than that, the rest of the team have grown together over 2 years, and now we're reaping the benefits of that. Fantastic coach. I think Gareth deserves a lot more credit than he gets. I've been shouted down a number of times on Twitter last season, and I was saying that, you know, we're building a team, we're building a squad. Bringing in Sean Goater for the striking coaching was a masterstroke, seems to have worked a treat. You know, you see them all on the pitch before games, these away games, and they're all together, they're all laughing and joking. The atmosphere looks good, but as soon as, you know, it's match time, they're professional, and they have, as we said before, they've got plan A, plan B. Look how good the last 2 weeks we've scored away wins from set pieces. That's not by accident. That's by hard work and planning and training. The corners we've scored recently, the free kicks are dangerous. Everything's clicking. Everything's working as a unit, and everyone knows the job, both, you know, attack-wise and defensively. You know, defence starts from the front, attack starts from the back. They've all got the jobs. And it's great to see, because you can see it's a team effort right the way through. And the celebrations on Sunday after the game weren't just the players. The whole backroom staff were involved. They were all together. You know, the trainers were there, the nutritionists, the physios, the guy who brings the kits was there. They were all on the pitch celebrating together because they see it as a unit. And that you've got to be that to win leagues and win trophies. I think you've got to all be pushing in the same direction at the same time, and we are doing as a team. And it'll be tough. But Chelsea are the best team, and they'll be under no illusions they're in for a tough game. City, they know what to expect because Chelsea are the best team in the country. So to go there and win, we've got to be absolutely faultless. But we can do that. We can do that because we're playing well enough.
Let's round it up then with a prediction. Can't leave because I never get predictions right, and I got it right.
Well, you got one right on Sunday, didn't you?
It never happens. So you must go again. Dave, what's your prediction?
I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a different sort of game to what we had at Arsenal. I don't think it'll be as cagey. I think it might be a little bit more open. That doesn't mean there'll be a lot more goals. I think, as Paul said, it'll be tight score-wise. So I'll be optimistic. I'll go for 2-1 to City. I'll say that we pull it off and we get the win. But I think it will be very close. I don't think there'll be much in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the same. I was going to say 2-1 City. I mean, I could give you another prediction, but it would be bogus. So I think it's going to be 2-1. If we're going to win or they're going to win, it's going to be so tight. I can't imagine them not scoring, but I think we're in a sort of form, you know. And Millie Bright being out is a big miss for them. I think 2-1 City, but it could be 1-0 City, you know. Mm. But it'll be 2-1 City if we win it. Because I think we've got goals in us, and I think, you know, they're not firing it on 100%. And you know, they're obviously still a very good team, but I think we've got a good chance of just shading it on the day.
Yeah, I think I was going to say 2-1 as well, but you know what? No, I'm going to say 1-0 again, only because
great.
I cannot see a world where Chelsea don't score. To be fair. But I would love for us to keep another clean sheet just because I feel that defensively we've been that solid, that compact, that consistent, the communication's been there. I think we're just going to be right on it. I believe on Friday, I think it's just going to be, again, another fine margin kind of game. I'm just going to get that one goal to break the deadlock, but it's going to be a beautiful thing when it happens. I'm just going to manifest it. I'm just going to spend my whole week just like doing what I can to kind of manifest it. But yeah, I think it's going to be under no illusion that it's going to be a very difficult game. Something that we've, a different Chelsea that differed from that earlier this season. I certainly think they're going to right the wrongs of obviously that game and be more, intent on, making an early start in that game and getting that early goal. And I think we need to obviously be aware of that. So we've just got to be on top of our game. I know Dave spoke about our A game last week. So yeah, I'm going to go A game. We've got to be right on top of it on Friday.
Chelsea going for four trophies. So for them, it's a massive game for them because they will look at it. If they can put 6 points between them and us, it gives them a bit of breathing space to concentrate on their other trophies as well, and still be top of the league. So it's a massive game for them as well.
Legacy, isn't it? We're talking about here. She's leaving Chelsea. She wants to leave on a high. They're in contention for competing for all four trophies, and obviously as a manager, that's something she's not done before. Like you said, it's all good winning the treble, but you want that one trophy that has been out of reach, and that's the Champions League, and she's. At the moment, in this moment in time, they're in a really good position in all four competitions. So, I'd love to upset that, to be fair. So
I think in fairness to Emma here, she will be drumming into her players. This doesn't matter. It's one game at a time. Don't be thinking about my legacy or all of that. But players are human. And most of those players have played for a long time for Emma Hayes. And rightly, she's been without a shadow of a doubt, the best coach in women's football in the domestic game by a mile. You can't dispute her record. You can't dispute her influence on the game. And, I've got a massive amount of respect for her on all sorts of different levels. But players are human, and there'll be a little bit in the back of their mind thinking, we want to send her off with a load of silverware. And that can creep into your game a little bit. That can add almost unconscious pressures to... you play slightly differently. So that might be a factor. As Dave says, if they win and the 6 points clear, then that gives them a bit more flexibility to rotate people around in other games. But it's just going to be a cracking game. And it's worth remembering that not only are we their top and we're second, Emma's the longest serving manager in the women's game. Gareth is the second longest serving manager in the women's game. So it's two top teams, two top coaches, two great sets of fans in a great game. What's not to love about that? The only thing I would say is if it's 1-0 with like 5 minutes to go to us or to them, it's ultimate squeaky bum time. you think Arsenal on Sunday was bad? This is going to be like,
I did love how he brought Alana on towards the end of the game. I thought that is I think he's just again just managing these games really well. He's doing what's needed for the team, and Emma Hayes is a real character of the game.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
I like it when she does the commentary on the television and stuff. I don't mind that she talks sense. She tells you about what you're watching, and I like her, and she's a great coach. You pay your respects to her because she's been the best coach by a long way. You don't win the trophies that she does and command the respect that she does from a massive squad of international players like she has. If you're not, so they will. I think they've got a great chance of winning the Champions League. I really do. I think they've got that mentality. Obviously, they've got a massive loss with Sam Kerr, but they've gone and replaced her with the new signing, haven't they? So, who's equally looks to be a world-class player. So, she means business. She wants to go out with some trophies, but we're in the way. We're certainly in the way in one of them, in the semi-final. We're in the way on Friday. We could end up, we could end up being in the way of each other in the FA Cup as well. So, those are the three that we're going for. So, it is what it is. And every game's massive now. From now on in, every game's going to be massive.
Yeah, definitely. I hope that we can talk all good things next week. But guys, if you are, obviously I'll see you on Friday, Dave. But yeah, we'll catch up next week and talk about the results.
Yep, fingers crossed.
See you guys.
Cheers.
And that wraps up this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with our post-match thoughts following Chelsea as we head into an international break before returning to action at the Joy Stadium against Everton on Saturday, the 2nd of March in the WSL. Have a great week, everyone.